141 951 1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard as we try to complete the lineup for the League Cup semi-finals. Rangers are through after a 2-0 win against Livingston. Can Celtic join them by seeing off Raith Rovers tonight? Cup specialists St Johnstone are back at Hampden after a night of controversy involving Lee Griffiths. And Dundee United welcome Hibs to Tannadice as the season's first piece of silverware gets ever closer. I'm Gordon Duncan. Joining me tonight is Gordon DL and Mark Wilson.
Yep, plenty to talk about. Games last night, Rangers and St Johnstone into the semi-finals. Will Celtic or Raith join them? Dundee United against Hibs, interesting one up at Tannadice today. And obviously Lee Griffiths back in the headlines for the wrong reasons. I wonder what the fallout from that will be this week.
Yeah, Rangers, St Johnstone both got a visit to Hampden coming up, as Mark rightly says, who will join them? Dundee United, Hibs, Celtic, Mull Team, Raith, hopefully. Watched Rangers game last night, 2-0, cruised into the semi-final, I've got to say, Gordon. Livingston shot themselves in the foot a little bit with the two goals, but Rangers thoroughly deserved their victory. And once again, cup specialist, St Johnstone go to Dens Park and got a terrific one.
And I'm delighted to say, I can exclusively reveal on the show that months of hard work finally paying off tonight. We approached the SPFL months ago and we said, look, Celtic against Raith Rovers, can you make it a Thursday night? Because we will have Celtic and Raith Rovers royalty in the studio, and it would just be so fitting if you could schedule it and make the game on the Thursday night. And they said yes, for the Mushroom and Dazzler, no problem. So here we are, we've got a rivalry, a derby in the studio. Celtic's Mark Wilson up against Raith Rovers Gordon DL. You up for that?
Yeah, what are we doing?
I don't know, I'll decide later on.
What are we doing? Okay. I'm surprised we're not there on the pitch at the side, broadcasting live.
Yeah, that would have been a good
think of the reception you would get. You know, goal scoring hero in that cup final.
Well, no, think of the reception you would get. I'd be more worried for your reception after some of your performances.
0141 951 1025 is the number you need to get in touch tonight. You can tweet as always at Clyde SSB, and there is a lot to get through. So if you're talking about last night, Rangers fans, what did you make of it? Quite simply, what did you make of the performance? You're obviously through to the semi-final within touching distance of a piece of silverware. What was the difference between the first half and the second half? Because clearly there were a few grumbles at half time, and by full time it was a much more comfortable evening. So what was the difference between the first half and the second half? Celtic fans, Raith Rovers fans, how are you feeling ahead of tonight? Ange Postecoglou, Celtic fans, can he afford to rotate a little bit? Who would you like to see given a chance? The team news will be out in around half an hour's time, so until that point you can really decide. You can tell us your suggestions. Who would you like to see given a chance tonight against Raith Rovers? And any concerns at all that this is a banana skin, or is that just too far after disappointment at the weekend? 0141 951 1025. Pick up the phone and speak to us. We are on Twitter at Clyde SSB. Let's go to Celtic Park and get a flavour of the build up there with Alison.
Good evening from Celtic Park. Of course, this fixture, fond memories for Daz, that 1994 League Cup final win. That was the last time that Raith Rovers beat Celtic as well. The sides meet tonight for a place in the semi-finals and a place at Hampden. We'll find out later who they'll face as well. Ange Postecoglou says no extra importance on this game given their current Premiership form. Giakoumakis is in the squad for the first time for this game, but unlikely to start. And still no Callum McGregor as he returns from a hamstring injury. Raith, of course, through after that win over Aberdeen in the last round. Boss John McGlynn says it's a daunting task for his Championship tonight, players tonight, but he's urging them to make the most of any glimmers of hope. It is a 7:45 kickoff here. I should have the teams up at 6:30, Gordon.
Mark Wilson, avoiding a humiliating cup defeat is obviously number one priority for Ange Postecoglou. These are the types of fixtures that no matter what your form is, no matter who's unavailable, that there will be no forgiveness for that. You go into the game as overwhelming favourites, you're at home, Championship opposition. With that in mind, and given some of the maybe just some of the negativity, whether it's justified or not, from the weekend, how much can he rotate tonight, and how much will he?
I think he should. I think with the schedule that Celtic have got, at home and in Europe. I think this is an opportunity. I think this tie comes along. It's a pretty good tie for Celtic. And I'm not being disrespectful to Wraith, because I think they've started the championship pretty well. You know, 1-2, drawn 1, lost 2. So I think they'll be quite happy with that. But for Celtic and the squad they've got, the players that they have on the bench, albeit we are seeing last week in Europe it was a weak bench, and maybe at Livy when he's turning round for inspiration to change a game, you could say it's weak. It's still good enough to get the job done tonight. So I think the opportunity is there for him to give some of these fringe players a game. I seen Mikey Johnson come on Sunday. For me, this would be the ideal opportunity to give him some game time. Gia Marcus, Alisson saying there he's unlikely to start. Why? You know, I know he's playing catch up with fitness, but surely he'd rather play from the start and see what you can get out of him for maybe an hour. And there's plenty of others on the bench as well that you can get up to speed. There is a lot of games coming up, and I just feel Celtic, with what they've got in reserve, will have enough to get the job done pretty simple tonight.
I mean, credit to Raith Rovers, Gordon. They got here by taking advantage of an Aberdeen side who made changes and clearly didn't take it seriously enough. This is another proposition still on top of that. How much are you looking forward to this one?
Yeah, I am. I think everyone concerned at Raith will be looking forward to it, Gordon. I was there for a few years and was very lucky to be a manager as well, and I know how much it means to the club to play against teams like Celtic and the top teams. They had a terrific result against Aberdeen, but the difference, that was at home on their own pitch. The one thing that Celtic fans will guarantee tonight, you go along and watch this Raith Rovers team, they play some really good football. They really do. They pass the ball, they try and play in the right way. They'll believe in their own ability, but I totally agree with Mark. I think it's a massive ask against Celtic, especially at Celtic Park tonight.
We're going to speak to Ozzy, who's a Rangers fan, very soon. Let's bring in Jerry first though. Jerry's a Celtic fan. Any concerns about tonight, Jerry, or would you expect convincing passage to the semi-finals?
Hi, Gordon. Yeah, I think tonight I'm not really concerned. I think, you know, we've seen Celtic play the home games against the so-called, no disrespect, the weaker teams, and we've been quite convincing going forward. But I think the real issue for Celtic, for me, is defensive coaching. And I know that Mark and you and other guys have defended John Kennedy. This is not about slagging him off specifically, but I think even Mark has said there's an issue at Celtic, and there has been for a number of years now, with defensive coaching. I mean, you look at last three games, Betis, 4 goals, Livingston. The Rangers game was a simple header from Hollander. I can go back 2 years to Katic Parkhead, another corner and a simple header. I don't understand why Celtic are so bad at defending. It's really quite embarrassing how many goals you lose from basic free kicks and corner kicks. And that has to be on the coaching. And John Kennedy is part of that, but Stephen McManus is as well, Gavin Strachan, and Ange Postecoglou. I mean, let me say this as well. The best defensive pairing we've had in the last few years was Dedric Boyata and Jozo Siminovic. And what does that say? Because both of them made a mistake nearly with every other game as well. There's a real problem at Celtic, and I don't know how we solve it. I would like to hear Mark's thoughts on that, because even he has to acknowledge, as an ex-Celtic player, there are real problems at Celtic defensively.
Mark?
Yep, I would agree. But your point there, and a lot of people are coming on this show and making the point, you made the point there, and Ange Postecoglou. You know, Ange Postecoglou always seems to be the last one that people are mentioning with this. You've got to remember, this is Ange Postecoglou's team. The way he sets them up, it's Ange Postecoglou. So the people coming on, oh, it's John Kennedy's fault, it's Gavin Strachan's fault. Ange Postecoglou has decided when he came in that those guys were good enough to stand beside him and coach his side, and he would set up his team accordingly. Now, Jerry's right, look, there are holes here, but I can't remember a time where, or very few times, that Celtic have been sound defensively. Even going back to my time, we played against, you know, the biggest sides, we lost goals, and we were criticised because the defensive side of our game wasn't up to scratch, because it never quite matches the attacking flair that Celtic teams are accustomed to having. Virgil van Dijk, so opposite, Jerry does mention a good partnership. You look at Celtic's defensive record, actually, and the goals they've lost over a number of years, and I don't think it's as bad as people seem to make out when you take everything into consideration. And I just think this Ange Postecoglou team, the way he sets them up, very open, that defence is going to come under huge pressure in open play. Goals are going to be lost. But I think it's a bit harsh just to then point it at the back four or John Kennedy because he's a defender. It's the way the team's set up. Now, set pieces, yes, you can always work at those. I think teams will always, even the best teams when they lose a goal for a set piece, will always pinpoint that in their video analysis and try and make it better in the training ground. But teams score goals at set pieces. Yes, Celtic fans would love things tightened up, but it takes work. It takes hard work. And I think there is a lot of work to be done on this Celtic team, but it's not just the back four, if that makes sense.
Jerry?
I hear what Mark's saying, Gordon, but again, it's been happening for years. I mean, I know in terms of numbers, it's probably not as bad as we say, but honestly, every time we lose a corner or a free kick, it's like the opposite of Mark's time, where every time Nakamura had a free kick, you thought it was going to be a goal. Every time we lose a corner now, I feel like the opposition are going to score. And it's just basic stuff. I mean, look at Rangers the last few times we've played them. Morelos, header, Katic a couple of years ago, header, Hollander, header the last time. All they have to do is soak up the pressure and then get a free kick and then score from it. And I'm not just blaming John Kennedy, but I don't know who the defensive coach is. I think that's something Ange Postecoglou's got to do. He's got to get a defensive specialist in, because I think we all agree his philosophy is to be attacking-minded, whereas someone like Steve Clarke is more defensive-minded, and that's why maybe Scotland don't lose as many goals. But we need to get a defensive specialist in there who can actually work with the players on a daily basis. Because clearly, and I'm sorry to say, Mark, clearly it's not good enough the job that Stephen McManus and John Kennedy are doing. If that is their role as defensive coaches, or whoever it is, Gavin Strachan, and Ange Postecoglou, again, I conclude him, but it's not good enough right now. We cannot keep losing goals, because we're not going to win the league if we lose goals from corner kicks and free kicks, so basically.
I wonder how much, though, Gordon, this stuff snowballs. This is the beauty of live radio. Jerry's posed the question. I don't have the information to hand, so maybe I'll look it up or someone can get in touch. Celtic have played 14 games this season. So how many goals have they conceded directly from a set piece? Now, obviously, they're big ones. That's why people remember them. So the one against Hearts, the one against Rangers. Are there others? I'm not sure. Maybe, right? But my point that I'm trying to get at is out of the 14 games, how many? Maybe a couple. And Jerry's saying, and this is his own opinion, so you know, mm-hmm. you can't really question that, but it feels like we're going to concede every time we concede a corner. But clearly not. 14 games, yeah. And as far as I can tell, it's only a couple of goals conceded from set pieces. But what happens is, once it becomes a thing, once people start talking about it, and then Jerry's able to bring up a goal from Katic, which would have been, you know, 2 years ago, and previous mistakes from years ago, I wonder how bad it actually is in terms of the number of the percentage of set pieces that Celtic concede from versus other teams. And I know there were a few stats doing the rounds last season, because last season was a particularly bad time for it.
Yeah, I know what Jerry's saying, and I don't know if it would work with a defensive coach, because that's what happens in the games now. You've got you know, guys that have come in as attacking coaches for strikers, working them, working defensively. But let's look at Celtic here and what Jerry's saying, and he's talking about the backroom staff. Everything stops at the manager's door, because he's a very hands-on coach. You see him in his first two or three training sessions. It was videoed and it was put out there. And I think it was put out there to let everyone know that he's the man that's going to be out in the middle. He's got to be dictating everything. He's running the training sessions. Now, if you're a manager and you decide to go set plays, say corners against, you decide, is it zonal marking or are you going man for man? You decide with your goalkeeper, are you going to have people in the post? So as a manager, you take the responsibility for that. Your coaches are there to help you. They're there to work with it when it's split training sessions. For instance, you know, you'll find that maybe John Kennedy will go and work with the back four and the goalkeeper and the defenders. Postecoglou might work with the midfield players, so in split, and then a coach might work with the strikers and split training sessions. But when it all comes down to a big decision, it's a manager's decision. Now, if he feels that, look, we're losing goals because of my coaching staff here, then they shouldn't be there, because it's his job. He's the one that's going to pay for it. But I don't think it is, Gordon. I think that it's just responsibility for players. I think you can maybe hand a bit of credit to the other team, opposition, for maybe a quality ball and a quality finish. So I can understand. Now, I'm not against saying, well, look, bring in a defensive coach, it might work. Bring in an attacking coach, might score more goals. If it helps, then great. But I don't think you can just keep labelling this Strachan and John Kennedy. I think that's unfair.
Thank you to Jerry. So Celtic up against Raith Rovers tonight, looking to go into the last four and join the likes of St Johnson and of course Rangers, who saw off Livingston by 2-0 last night. Ozzy is a Rangers fan. What did you make of it, Ozzy?
Hi guys. I've got a couple of points I want to make. First, just reflecting on the game, and, mm-hmm. and the second point I just want to make specifically about Lundstrom. Mm-hmm. So just reflecting on the game, I thought it was quite similar to Motherwell in that, you know, there was one half where we played really well, one half where we didn't play very well. And I'm not too concerned, to be honest, about the form generally. I think it's going to click into gear. I've got my own theory about why we've been a little bit slow this season. And I think it's because you look at every single game that we played this season, domestically and in Europe, there's not been a single standout attacking or creative performance. And when you contrast that to last season, you know, at the start of last season, Aribo was absolutely on fire. Then he got injured, and then James Tavernier and Ryan Kent went on a period where they were totally unplayable. And then you had Kamara Roof with a purple patch of goals. We've not had that this season. The from middle to front, and also, you know, when you're thinking about Tavernier, the creative players on our team, they've not really, there's not been a single game where you've went away and thought, oh, so-and-so was totally unplayable. But that will resolve itself because the players are too good. Specifically on the game, one of the things that pleased me the most was, I think this is one of the few times that we've seen Steven Gerrard make a change at halftime when it's clearly not going right. I think the last time he did that was when we played Royal Antwerp at home. If you remember, when he just brought on Nathan Patterson for Balogun, because Balogun was struggling. So I think there's a few positives in there. Obviously, Livy not as good as Motherwell, certainly in attack. And I think that showed because they didn't get a single shot in. But I'm quite pleased with the performance and how we've been in recent games.
What was the difference? I posed the question at the start. Was the difference between the first half and the second half quite simply that? Was it the introduction of Yanis Hadji? Is that simply the difference between the first half and the second half?
I think it was definitely one of the catalysts. You know, Steven Gerrard identified that Wright was, you know, I think there was one chance where he got in behind the defence, but, you know, apart from that, he wasn't doing what we needed him to do. And yeah, certainly when we brought Hadji on, his movement was unbelievable. He was all over the park, and, you know, within seconds, I think he rejuvenated the whole team. I think they saw Hadji come on, and I think the strikers knew they'd get chances. So yeah, I want to see more of that from Gerrard in the future. You know, when things are not going well, we got such a good squad, just make a change. You know,
Gordon, you're nodding away. Is that something wrong with you, or are you agreeing that that's the difference between the first half and the second half?
A bit of both. No, I agree that, you know, the second half was changed with the introduction of Hadji. It needed it, Gordon, for me. I know the creator, a couple of chances, Goulson with the diagonal balls, right, get in behind, and was unfortunate. He looks out of sorts. I like him. I think he'll be a good player. But he just looks out of sorts just now. It needed the change. And the fact that he brought Hadji on, he made the goal, and they got it so early. Really, there was no turning back for Rangers then. You were never looking at Livingston like on Sunday with Motherwell getting back into the game. They didn't pose a threat at all. It was a case of, you know, trying to keep that score line down, and Rangers went on to punish them later with Morelos' goal as well. But I thought Hadji looked bright, he looked sharp, he looked like a guy that was hungry to, you know, get back into playing and staking a claim, a regular place in the team. So it was good management, because Steven Gerrard, as much as he dominated the game, it was still 0-0, it was still the cup. And he decided, I need something just a little bit different to light a spark here. And Hadji certainly gave him that.
Ozzy, most calls we've had this season about John Lundstrom have been negative, but I detect a slightly different tone in your call.
Yeah. I think he needs to be singled out. In the past few games, starting with Leon, when Davis got subbed and, you know, Lundstrom was put into the Davis role. I think, and he did the same role yesterday. I think he really shines in that role, which is a surprise for me because I had it in mind. I don't watch too many Premier League games, but I had it in mind that he was more in the mould of a sort of Arfield, you know, box to box, driving into the opposition box, trying to score goals. But he's really seems to have found his form in that sitting role. I thought he was brilliant against Lyon, and he did the same sort of things yesterday, albeit against an easier opposition. But, you know, he made so many important interceptions. His passing has improved. I've noticed that he starts passing it forward and then runs beyond, which is really promising. So I think we're getting more of what we expected from him and what we need to expect. We know he's on big wages. And I think I wanted to just make the point as well, you know, as you mentioned, Gordon, he was a bit of a comedy figure with Celtic fans on the socials at the start of the season when, albeit, you know, he wasn't playing very well. The irony for me is that I think he's exactly what Celtic need in that midfield right now. I think he's doing what they expected McCarthy to be doing, in terms of cutting those passing lanes and moving the ball quickly, because that's what he did yesterday. That's what impressed me. He moved it with momentum and zip to the likes of Patterson. And I think it's really promising. I was saying to the producer that, you know, we might have a situation now where we can rest Davis against, you know, the so-called easier opposition and bring him out for the Euro games and ask Lundstrom to take over
that job. Let me put that to Gordon. We're running a bit late for the travel. What was that his best game in a Rangers shirt last night?
Yes, I thought he looked very good, Gordon. I think the boy just needs time. He needs to settle into the club. The caller was saying there that, you know, he was a sort of a standing joke with the Celtic. A lot of Rangers fans were criticising him as well, Gordon.
That's more what I meant. It was mostly Rangers fans we've had on so far not being impressed.
Yeah, you know, they're expecting big things. I think he will be a good signer, I've got to say that. He has taken time, but he's starting to, with game time now, and playing regularly, starting to get that confidence.
Right, what did you make of Rangers Livingston last night? What was the difference between the first half and the second half? Pick up that phone and let us know. Thank you to Aussie 01419511025, and stay right there. We'll give you a Celtic team next.
You are the voice of Scottish football. Call 01419511025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Gordon Dalziel and Mark Wilson are here on a big night of League Cup action. It was a big night last night as well, so we're reflecting on what went on at Ibrox and elsewhere. Rangers fans, we were just speaking to Ozzy, who was praising John Lundstrom. Do you agree with that? Did you like what you saw last night? What was the difference between the first half and the second half? Because clearly the second 45 was much better. Why was that? Is it all about Yanis Hadji? Does that mean he is now going to try and nail down a place in that team? Whatever you made of last night, 01419511025. And we are on Twitter as well at Clyde SSB, and we should have a starting 11 from Celtic Park very soon indeed. Let's hear a bit from the Celtic manager then, ahead of this one.
As always, we scout the opponents. We've had people watching them, and you know, obviously Cup games are a little bit different. I guess the league games, you know, with both teams aware that you know, everything hinges on that day. And so we're expecting a tough game. We're expecting an opponent who will be determined to try and stop us. And our job is to make sure that, particularly at home, we kind of impose ourselves on them and try and create, you know, an atmosphere and I guess a football environment that makes it difficult for them.
James, that was your manager speaking there. What are you thinking ahead of this game tonight?
Hi guys, hope you're well.
Good, thanks.
I try to call up Monday after the Livingston game as well, and I'm just got I don't understand this myth that's kind of surrounding Ange Postecoglou. The guy's treated like a god. The guy's treated as if he's the best manager to come into Celtic in the last 40 years. The guy's lost five of his first six league games, five of his first six away games, including obviously Champions League qualifiers and all that kind of stuff. And Mark was absolutely right there. People keep hitting John Kennedy and Gavin Strachan. You're going, hold on, Postecoglou's a manager. The results haven't been great. And if I'm right, everybody's talking about the defence, and I know there is issues with the defence. But if I'm right, Celtic conceded less goals than Rangers in the league.
But the problem I think the same amount. Yeah.
So everybody's going on about the goal scoring. I think beating St Mirren and beating Dundee kind of clouded it. They've been away to Ibrox and we beat 1-0. And they went to Livingston and get beat 1-0.
By the way, I take that back. You're right. I think Celtic have conceded one fewer just before somebody pulls me up on it, James. Sorry, carry on.
Right. So you just got to trust me, that's what I
You know your stuff.
No, I'm not good. But I just feel as if there's this big. I don't know any other manager that would come in, have the record that he's got at the start of the season. If somebody told me at the start of the season Rangers were going to drop 5 points in their first six league games, I'd expect the Celtic to be top of the league, not sixth. So I just feel as if there's this big myth surrounding him, and I don't know where it's coming from. I think his first press conference, he sounded good. Oh, he talks well. That's good. You can talk as much as you want.
What did you expect from Celtic, James? Because ultimately, football and any results-driven business, it's usually your sort of results versus expectation. Because lots of people maybe thought Celtic would take a little bit of time to get going because of the overhaul and everything that's gone on previously at the club. But you still think it should be better by now?
Oh, it should be better. I mean, there has been a big overhaul. I mean, I know you've lost the spine of a team with kind of Edward, Christine, all that kind of stuff. But to lose, or to drop, sorry, 9 points, lose three of your first away games, it just shouldn't happen. At Celtic, it just should not happen. As I said, Rangers fans must be sitting laughing. They've dropped 5 points in their first six league games, and they're 4 points clear of Celtic, and Celtic are sick. And Celtic's next three away games, I think, the next 6 weeks, is Fir Park, Pittodrie, and Easter Road.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the league could effectively be over after 11 games.
It's a strange one, Mark, because I think, like I said, I'm not sure anyone really expected Celtic to win the league this season. So if they don't win the league, it's not automatically a disaster. But what you do need is, in fact, we know with Andy Halliday on last night, and people were talking about what Rangers went through. You know, Steven Gerrard took a while, didn't win anything, but they did do well in Europe.
Yeah.
And there were signs year on year that they were getting better. So Celtic fans are going to need something to hang on to. They acknowledge that it's a big rebuild and that it'll take a bit of time. They're going to need something.
Yeah, I don't think anyone was under any illusions how difficult this would be for any manager coming in. So when Ange Postecoglou came in, and let's be honest, he was unheard of. You know, never, there's a very occasional Celtic fan that's, oh, I knew about him and I heard about him. The majority didn't. So I think the Celtic fans understood it was going to take time. James is right in the respect that a couple of the home games that Celtic played, they were very, very good going forward, and it looked brilliant. But although it's going to take time to get right, you've got to remember Celtic have still got a playing squad that's better than almost everyone else in the league. So to be six games in and to have lost three of them, it's right criticism should come your way, and it has to be put right sooner or later. That form can't continue. Or James is right, I may not be done after 11 games, but you'll find yourself a long way back if that form continues, because Rangers, you could argue that they're not playing particularly well just now, but they get the job done somehow. I know they drew against Motherwell, but last night they weren't particularly good, but they won. So Ange Postecoglou will get time, he will get windows to make it right, but the players themselves have to help him. You know, they have to start performing better. It's okay at Celtic Park tonight, putting on a great show, and everyone expects him to go and win, but come Sunday against Dundee United, it needs to be there. Come their next away game, it needs to be put right, because the away form just now is outrageously bad when you think of a Celtic team who last won away in the league back in February. That's basically unheard of.
James, hang on the line a second, because we do have breaking news from Celtic Park, and it is the team to take on Raith Rovers. Lots of questions pre-match. How many changes? Will we see Giakoumakis from the start, or who would be involved tonight? Alison Conroy has the answers.
Yeah, Giakoumakis is on the bench for this one. A few changes. Anthony Ralston comes back in. Carl Starfelt is back in, as well as Bolly Bolingoli drops out of the starting 11 along with Josip Juranovic. So it will be Joe Hart in goal, back four of Ralston, Carter Vickers, Starfelt, Montgomery, then the midfield three of Rogic, McCarthy and Turnbull, with Jota and Abada supporting Ayeti up front. On the bench for Celtic tonight will be Bain, Scales, Beaton, Giakoumakis, Soro, Bolingoli, Ohorogide, Welsh and Juranovic. So it's Starfelt and Ralston who are back in the starting 11.
What does that tell you about the depth or lack of that Celtic have available, Gordon? Because I would guess, and everyone's got their own opinion, obviously there's no Callum McGregor, apart from Juranovic, that's probably the strongest team Celtic have available tonight. So it doesn't look like there's any risks being taken against lower league opposition.
Yeah, and I don't see why they should, Gordon. Don't put yourself in that position. You're not really looking at resting players just now. We're early into the season. This is an opportunity to get to a semi-final. That's important. He's coming in for a bit of criticism about his away record and some of his results. Quite rightly so. He's brought in 12 players. I'm all for this guy. I just think that he does need time. These 12 players will not all hit the ground running. He's had one or two injuries. I know other clubs have as well, but I'm just focusing on him. And he's obviously looked at this game tonight and given Raith Rovers every bit of respect. He wants to win it, and he's put out a very strong team. Plus the fact it gets guys like McCarthy another probably 90 minutes under his belt maybe tonight.
James, you were on more about the big picture, to be fair, than specifically tonight's game. What does success look like then for Celtic this season? Or what's the minimum requirement, I should say? Because I know winning the league's a success, but what would satisfy you?
So I think when you finish 25 points behind a team, I don't expect Celtic to win the league the next season. I really don't. Obviously, getting closer to Rangers, I kind of believe it's, as I say, in the space of 2 years, we're talking about being 25 points behind and being so far away. But if you get closer and maybe win a trophy, that would be deemed success, to be honest with you.
I think James is right, though. The next few away games are massive. You look at the challenge of them. Let's squeeze in one more before the break, actually. Thanks to James and Greenock for that. Some interesting stuff that I'm sure lots of you will agree and lots of you will disagree with. So feel free to pick up the phone and let us know. Rangers fans still on the lookout for your take on last night's game against Livingston. What was the difference between the first half and the second half? Was it just Yanis Hadji? Is it something else? How was John Lundstrom? How do you see the side going forward? I thought Robbie was about to join us on the phone, but he's just disappeared. What do you make of the team tonight, Mark?
Well, it shows you Ange Postecoglou is desperate to bounce back from that performance on Sunday. You know, he pretty much says everybody was disappointing, especially going forward. He gave those guys another chance. That's his right. Listen, it's early in the season, so people might not need a rest, but there's a busy schedule coming up. I would have liked to have seen Mikey Johnson in there. Scales, I mean, we were told he's not quite ready yet. Well, when's he going to be ready? Surely this was a game to give him 90 minutes and bed him in. McCarthy, I agree. I think McCarthy needs games. I thought on Sunday you could tell he was a wee bit off the pace and he needs games. So tonight will be a good gym for him. But a strong side, and it shows you he's taking this one very seriously and desperate to get to Hampden.
Good time to get your call in. 01419511025. We'll speak to you next.
01419511025. This is Scottish football's league leader, Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Just over an hour to go until the big kickoffs in the League Cup semi-final. Celtic Raith Rovers and Dundee United against Hibs. So we're looking forward to them. We're looking back on last night's action as well on 01419511025. Dominic is a Celtic fan in Rutherglen. What's on your mind tonight, Dominic?
Hi, panel. Thanks for having me. No, it's just a few things regarding the stick that Postecoglou's getting. And I'm just looking at a few different things. I mean, it's all right saying that it's a work in progress and all that, but when you look at it and you break it down, I mean, he's buying players like Juranovic, right? He's playing him out of position to accommodate Ralston. He's playing Forrest out of position to accommodate Abada. I mean, we've got an unfit Greek striker. We've got Soro, who I rated at first, but he's a liability. If you watch him against Betis, I mean, he's booked early bells and he's climbing all over people. He was ascending off on... I mean, we've lost like El Yunusi, Christie, Edward. I wouldn't regard Ayer because I wasn't a big fan of Ayer anyway, but I mean, we're buying players, we're playing them out of position. So when are we going to jail? I mean, where does it stop with? Is it Postecoglou? I mean, what is his thinking? I mean, he's buying players, he's playing them out of position. How are they going to jail when they're doing things like that?
Is that out of necessity at the moment, Mark? You would imagine that settles. Yeah. I mean, take tonight, for instance. It's not much different. But compared to the weekend, there is a striker on the bench. So all of a sudden, if for some reason you want to change the game, you want to add something, you can actually bring a striker on, which they couldn't do at the weekend.
Yeah, as players get fitter again, then the squad will obviously be a wee bit different to look at. But my concern, and I agree with Dom a wee bit, going back to Jerry's point, defensively, is that back four again has changed tonight, and it keeps changing every game, and there is no consistency there. So tonight Juranovic drops out, whether that's a knock or a rest. Ralston's back in, ball and goalie. He's came from nowhere, but he's back out, and Montgomery's in, Starfield's back in, and I would assume that that will change again on Sunday, and I'd be surprised if if it stays the same for the following game. So Celtic have to get a back four that's reliable and can form some sort of relationships, because you can't keep chopping and changing every single week. That's a concern.
The irony, or not, that's not, it's not irony at all, Gordon, but the other way to look at it is the midfield isn't rotating because it can't really. Turnbull and Rogic play every game at the moment, and McCarthy's in tonight, and if it wasn't him it would be McGregor. And we're now maybe starting to see McCarthy coming in and play a bit more football. But what do you make of Mark's point about rotation and where you can do it and where you can't?
Sometimes it's forced, Gordon. I think early doors with Ralston playing at right back and Juranovic playing at left back at Ibrox, I think that was forced upon him. Tonight nobody's playing out of position. I just think that because of personnel, you look at, I totally agree, I would never, just now, I think he's one for the future, Abada. I would never play him in front of Forrest. Forrest would be in my team every single week, but obviously he's not fit enough to do that. So Abada plays in there with Jota and gives him a bit of width. Yeti up front will be interesting to see how long he lasts, but I don't think he's played, you know, his new signings. Juranovic, probably. I can't think of anybody else. It's really, you look and it's a, you know, you raise your eyebrows thinking, well, he shouldn't really play there. And Juranovic is that good a player. He can play left back in a canter. So they're playing in the right positions tonight. They're at home. They need a result. And it'll be interesting to see how they do.
You won't be expecting any shock tonight, are you, Dominic? You'll be confident of this one?
I'm confident of a win. But, I mean, going with what Gordon Dale said, I mean, look, where is James Forrest most effective? On the right wing. We've signed Abada, who I can't even fault. I like Abada right, but you're playing Forrest on the left to accommodate him. You've signed a right back in Juranovic, and you're playing him left back to accommodate Ralston.
Is that not because there was no left back? You know, I get what you're. You know, it's right, that's why he played there, not to accommodate Ralston. He played there because they had no other left back, or you know, Adam Montgomery was the only one.
Well, Greg Taylor's supposed to be the left back.
Now he's injured. You know, that's, I think that's the problem.
But you're signing a player for millions of pounds. I mean, even Starfelt's not kicked a ball for Celtic a season for me. It's totally overrated for me. I mean, Stephen Welsh is far better than him. I understand that Julian's injured, but I just think a Celtic team, there's not a starting 11 that Ange Postecoglou really has got. I mean, I know we've lost Christie and El Yunusi. And Edward, obviously, but I mean, that Celtic starting 11 is all over the place.
Yeah, but Mark, centre back one is interesting because I think a lot of people felt a little bit for Welsh when he dropped out and felt out of the two. He had the stronger start to the season than Starfelt. But then there are other Celtic fans out there who you speak to and say, yeah, you know, Welsh has done fine, but is he really the standard of centre half that's going to take Celtic back to where they want to be? He then comes in at the weekend. Could have done better with Andrew Shinney's goal. Drops back out tonight. Starfield comes back in. So you're right, it's not really sure where they all stand at the moment.
I think Welsh came into the side last season through necessity, where there was injuries and suspensions. And to be fair to the boy, he wasn't the worst out that Celtic back four. And this season, I think he started fine before Carter's Vickers came in. I think he actually performed better than Starfield. So I wasn't surprised to see him coming in Sunday. Yes, he could have done better for the goal, but again, because he could have done better for the goal, does that mean he drops out tonight and Starfield's in? It just is changing too much. And I think the Celtic centre-halves would feel the same. I truly believe when you're playing there, especially at the centre of defence, you want a partner that you can form a relationship with. And I think that's impossible when it's constantly rotating. So Celtic need to find a mix that fits, and needs to be a mix that Joe Hart can trust as well, and they keep clean sheets. Sooner the better for Ange Postecoglou.
Thanks, Dominic. Let's hear from Gary McAllister on last night. He is hailing Yanis Hadji's impact from the bench. He believes the Romanian's positional sense is a huge part of his game.
Delighted to get the result and be in the semi-final and getting to Hampden. Again, I thought there's some good football in the first half. We moved the ball pretty well, and again, getting up into the final third, I thought we just lacked a wee bit of quality. But there still was good chances, and we've got to be more clinical. Manager makes a decision at half-time to flip Yanis on for Scotty Wright, and it paid dividends, because what we were asking for at half-time was that wee bit more guile and a wee bit more quality. And Yanis provided that. That got us the first goal, and delighted to see Buff getting a goal as well. So it's a good night. I think there's a cleverness about Yanis, and it is positional. It's his awareness of how to play the role. Sometimes, you know, players, you see players that are really, really busy running from box to box, but sometimes it's actually advantageous to stand still and get your positioning right. And he's somebody who's watched a lot of football, and he's got a very... his dad wasn't bad either, so I think he's learned from the fact that you don't have to be flying around the pitch to make an impact in a game.
Let's bring in Greg, who's a Rangers fan. Do you agree with that, Greg? Was that the turning point last night, Yanis Hadji coming on? Is that what made the second half so much better than the first?
I would agree with that totally. It was, as Gary said, it brought that wee bit of class, that wee bit of guile, and he unlocked the defence with a couple of the wee cute passes. Mm-hmm. Positional sense and awareness is superb, you know. But, I mean, you've got to expect that of these players. I mean, that's what they're there for. It's not as if, you know, these guys aren't they capable of that. These guys should be doing this week in, week out, you know, unlocking defences and stuff like that. Yanis is, you know, he's been injured. He's had the COVID and stuff like that. So to come back and make an impact, then, you know, I can only say that that's brilliant, especially with the news that Ryan Kent's going to be out for another few weeks or so. So,
do you think can this be the start of a sustained run in the team for Yanis Hadji? And I take the point, Greg. It's been disrupted, you know, injury, COVID, and various other things. I feel like during his time at Rangers, we see bits of promise. He'll play quite well, and then all of a sudden, a so-called big game comes around, maybe a game against Celtic or a European game, and he drops out, and then it's in little patches. Do you feel he's now at a stage where he can be the main creative force that Rangers are looking for week in, week out?
Well, definitely. I mean, I think he's been at that stage last season as well. I mean, but last season I would have said he was made a big game player as opposed to being dropped out in the big games. You know, he seemed to shine in the kind of bigger games. However, he's always in and about the squad. And I think now with Ryan Kent being out, Scotty Wright, he's a great player, Scott Wright, no doubt about it. But with Yanis Hadji coming on, with the impact that he had, I think he'll now be the kind of first choice in that position. And I think now as well, Rangers will go on and the floodgates will open, so to speak. I think with a couple of results that they've had, positive results, Morella's getting on the score sheet, Sakala last week getting on the score sheet, Gerrard said himself that, you know, he feels that the time's just going to come and he's going to burst. And I think it's going to click into place, and Rangers, you know, we should be further ahead, to be fair. But, you know, if it wasn't for your team, Gordon, last week, time-wasting...
Honestly, been working on it all week. I've been watching them.
I'm just kidding. But I'm one of these guys that, you know, take it into the corner. But no, I think New Rangers can go on that run and string quite a few results together, wins. No results, but wins as opposed to draws.
Yeah. And Mark, I remember when Hadji signed, you had watched a bit of him for the remaining under-21s. You were a big fan. The point I was trying to make to Greg, I think, Rangers played Celtic 5 times last season. I think he started one of them and was brought off at half time, I think. And it just seemed that was the way in those types of fixtures. But if there's been a criticism of Rangers this season, Steven Gerrard said that maybe they're not quite got the cutting edge in the attacking third, and look at the impact he made last night. Is this maybe now a time for him to come and show what he can do?
I think so. I think he's had his time. He's been allowed his time to settle in. I think he's a terrific talent. But you hit the nail on the head there, Gordon. He seems to do it in patches. You know, it'll be purple patch where he's involved in lots of goals and he scores a couple of goals. Then he'll go cold.
I wasn't even judging his form. I'm talking about he's taken out of the team. Yeah. Like I say,
but he wouldn't be taken out the team if he did it more often than not. So he will get a little run And when he's playing well, it sometimes is unstoppable. The positions he finds, you know, the goals he creates, sometimes he scores. But I think this season he has to step up. If Ryan Kent's going to be out for a number of weeks, Scott Wright, I thought, would come in and grab that place. Maybe not. Hadji's got to take that mantle up. He's got to be the main creator, because he's got guys who are waiting on the bench now, with Bacuna, who may come in and take his position.
There we go, Gordon. I was slightly out. I've double checked. So in the last six games against Celtic, Hadji started one of them and he came off in the 65th minute, not the 45th. But I know there are a lot of Rangers fans out there who actually believe he can be the main man in all types of games.
Yeah, I think he was definitely the spark last night, Gordon, when he came off the bench at half time. Something that Rangers were looking for. It's just a case, can he get a run of games? Consistency as well. It's well documented, he's worked very hard in his fitness. He's had a couple of knocks because he got off to a good start to the season, and you thought he was just going to kick on from there. So I'm sure that Rangers' next game up at Dens Park, he'll probably be in the starting lineup.
My apologies, Greg, I had no idea we were running so late, so we'll have to leave it there, but we will do it again sometime. That was Greg in Saltcoats.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Beat the Pundit time, always a bit of carnage in here on Thursday night's Beat the Pundit. If you want involved in said carnage, it's 01419511025, and your call needs to be in before 7 o'clock.
Tackle the headlines. 01419511025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Mark Wilson and Gordon Dalziel are here. Another break spent wasting my life away trying to explain how percentages work to
it's
Gordon
Dalziel.
It is baffling me more and more every week. I'll try and give a brief version to the listeners. He's complaining because he's played 11 times this season, and some of the other pundits have played like 5 or 3 or 2 or whatever, but he's in twice a week and he's played 11 times, and his win percentage on Beat the Pundit is 45%. But he's now trying to tell Mark Wilson and myself that if he had only played twice, he would have a 100% record and he would be top of the league. But what I've tried to explain is that the win percentage means that if he'd played twice, he would lose one and he would win one. And but he's not having it.
But you're giving
me a headache. You would give a paracetamol a headache.
My argument is, if it started on Thursday, the competition, I would have a 100% win rate.
Much in the same way that if the Premiership started at the weekend, Livy would be top.
I'm interested in beating
That's great. Let's do this.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Black Arthur has been back in touch. The table does not make good reading for you. Bottom is Hugh Keevans. Second bottom is you. Mark Wilson still has a 100% record. However, you listeners, you're now bottom. You need to get the finger out, because the listeners have now only got a 32% win rate. They're bottom, statistically speaking. Let's see if Paul and Clydebank can change that. Paul, how's it going?
How are we doing?
Are you well?
Yes, very
good. Not far as well. We can drop the ball off tonight when you inevitably win on the way home. Heads.
I've moved since then.
Oh, right, he's not Paul and Clydebank anyway. He's moved because of us, I think.
Heads. Where are you now, Paul?
Don't tell him, Paul.
Closer to Mark Wilson, let's put it that way.
Ooh, well,
how do you know about Alec? I've said before on here.
I do advertise it quite readily.
To Paul.
Up our local papers on Sunday morning.
Oh, right, Well,
you ever been to the Bombay Dreams, Paul?
I have not.
So it's a long story. I'll explain that to you some other time. Right, Heads, it will be your neighbour, Mark Wilson. Wonder what kind of a newspaper Mark Wilson reads. Yeah. Anyway, at Tails, it will be Gordon Dalziel. We can't keep Heads. Mark Wilson up against Paul from Clydebank. So let's give Mark some Clyde 2 to listen to, so that he can't steal the answers. Paul, I'm going to put 30 seconds on the clock. You know the drill. Answer as many as you can, and if you don't know, you are free to pass and move on. Okay?
Okay.
Right, let's go. 30 seconds time starts now. Who scored Rangers' opening goal against Livy last night?
Jamal Roof.
Which stadium hosted the 2014 Commonwealth Games opening ceremony in Scotland?
Parkhead.
Laurie Ellis is the current manager of which SPFL team?
Pass.
Callum Hendry is currently playing for which Scottish top flight team?
St Johnstone.
Scotland's only match outside of Scotland at Euro 2020 was played in which country?
England.
And in which SPFL league do Montrose play in?
League One.
Let's bring Mark Wilson back.
No way.
Paul's decent, isn't he? Paul's decent. Or did you not hear Paul either?
No,
I or were you listening to something else?
No, I was listening to the question. No,
he was too busy telling me how many he'd got.
See, if he doesn't get six here, I'd be very disappointed.
I think Paul was good. Paul was really good. I think Mark's up against it. You ready?
All right, don't put me under pressure. Right.
Ready?
Yeah.
Who scored Rangers' opening goal against Livy last night?
Riff.
Which Scottish stadium hosted the 2014 Commonwealth Games opening ceremony?
Celtic Park.
Laurie Ellis is the current manager of which SPFL side?
Queen's Park.
Callum Hendry is currently playing for which Scottish top flight team?
St Johnstone.
Scotland's only match outside of Scotland at Euro 2020 was played in which country?
England.
Which SPFL league do Montrose play in?
League One.
And name any side in the Scottish top flight who are unbeaten in the league so far.
Rangers.
Oh no! Rangers got beat up Dundee United. Some Dundee United legend he is. Paul, how do you think that went?
I think he's beat me by one.
Let's find out.
That's what I like to hear, Paul.
Who scored Rangers opener? Kamar Roof. You both got it. You both knew Celtic Park hosted the Commonwealth Games opening ceremony. Only Mark knew that Laurie Ellis was the Queen's Park manager. 3-2 up. You both knew Callum Hendry. You both knew the Euro game was played at Wembley in England. And you both knew that Montrose play in League One. A great standard. Unfortunately for Paul, that's where the road ended. Even though I feel like docking you points for the last one, Hibs or Hearts are the unbeaten sides. Up to that point you did pretty well. You got a 6. Paul got a 5. What a match.
Told you it's a 6. There's 6 written all over it.
Paul, hard lines. Listen, 5 is usually enough to win. Hard lines.
That's us all square. Me and Wilson.
Oh, yeah. You played him before?
I beat him before.
Oh yeah, I kept that quiet. Old grudge match.
We'll do a decider at some point. Thank you, Paul.
Unlucky Paul.
I was a wee bit. Yeah, unlucky there Paul.
Yeah, like 6-5. Great for, you know what they say, good game for the neutral. Entertainment value.
A lot of knowledge here from me and Paul. A lot of knowledge.
I told you I had 6, so Paul would have been put away with me as well. Yeah. So stick my one record up there.
100%.
I think with the pressure on, you wouldn't have got 6.
Yeah, I would have.
Nah, you'd have
easily.
I really don't think so. Something would have just.
I tell you what you wouldn't have got. There's no way you would have got the Commonwealth Games opening ceremony. Not
there.
A chance.
You weren't there.
You were there.
What, dressed as one of the tea cakes? I don't think so.
Big Tonics tea cake.
I was behind the scenes.
I was invited there.
Yeah.
Nonsense. Absolutely. Just lies.
Who invited
all the
you
time?
To the Commonwealth Games?
Because they don't want me to tell anybody.
They don't want me to tell anybody. No way.
Yeah.
No. 100% record, Baz.
John Barrowman stunt double.
I was talking
sure
to John.
He did. Oh, is that where you get the inspiration
no,
for your hair?
Me, but I was speaking to him
by
before
the way,
it. It was fantastic.
I think they look a bit like these days.
Has
Barrowman not embraced the silver fox as well?
Yeah,
I've not seen him for ages.
I'll just look him up right now.
I think there was a stage John Barrowman had that hairdo. It may have coincided with him inviting you to the Commonwealth Games.
I've got to say, one of the nicest guys I've had the privilege.
By the way, look at that. Uncanny. Separated.
Yeah.
That is the exact same hairdo that you've got. I mean, his face is a bit better, but.
How have you met John Barrowman?
I met him at Celtic Park when I was there.
You were not there that night.
Gordon, look, I'll tell you what, I've proved he's wrong so many times.
Like when?
Well, Postecoglou, for one.
We didn't get to the bottom of Natalie and Brilliant's story, I must admit.
I guarantee that is 100% right.
Do you know the truth about this is, right? Hmm. I forgot to say this.
Somebody did.
We phoned
our agent.
The restaurant. No, we phoned the restaurant because remember, someone claimed that there was a picture of you two in a restaurant in Kirkcaldy. We phoned the restaurant. And we were going to get them on air, and I can't remember how it fell by the wayside, but they just were not having it at all. And then just in a very monotone explanation, they just said, "We don't have pictures of anyone in here." That was it. They just killed it. Stone dead.
No, it's a true story.
At least bomb my dreams. Admit to my pictures.
I did not say that there was a picture because I didn't know.
Someone else did.
But I guarantee you, if we dig, I am going to dig further into this. I've got to phone our agent and get in touch with your show.
Okay, you've got John Barrowman stunt double or Mark Wilson if you want to put your calls to them tonight. 01419511025 on the phones. It's at Clyde SSB on Twitter as well. The least surprising news of the night was that cup specialist St Johnstone are through. Are they ever going to lose a cup game ever again? What's that, 18 or something?
How many goals in the cup now does Rooney score?
Honestly, what a story.
Unbelievable. I mean, back to Hampden again. How many times have they been back? Is that, it'll be the fifth time back to Hampden in a couple of years. Callum Davidson, what a job he's done. What a week he's had. Because
rumour has it some of his nipple skin is still on the floor at Hampden after he did that.
What a celebration. Yeah,
so he's going to look for it.
Brilliant in the cup. Yeah, Daz is right, Rooney as well. But what a week, because went up to Pittodrie, of course, looking for the first league win. I don't think any has gave them much of a chance. Apart from Barryman beside us here.
JB.
And so great week. And whoever gets them in the semi final will not be taking them lightly this year, that's for sure.
Yeah. Callum Davidson's doing a terrific job up there. I know that he had to get that first league win, and it was a very good league win at Pittodrie. But cup specialist, and Matt's right, when that the draw comes out the hat, St Johnston at Hampden, it's got to be a difficult one, especially if that main man Rooney's there. He can get you a goal, as he's shown in the cups before. But for the two teams tonight, Celtic, Raith, and then obviously Dundee United and Hibs, got to get there first.
The good thing about it though, and the particular reason to be pleased for St Johnstone, so now the fans can experience it, you know, as good as last season was, you know, it was in front of empty stadia, and that's what's delighting Callum Davidson as well. He says that the team spirit is a big factor in their cup success.
You know, I actually thought it was a game for both teams. Try to have a wee go. I thought Dundee first half probably had the better chances. We probably had the better play, but they had the better chances. Second half weather storm, first 10 minutes, and then once we scored, I thought we settled down, you know, and just soaked up pressure and broke them on the counter. Just great to go back to Hampden, really. You know, it's fantastic. It's a great achievement by a club like St Johnston to get there again. You know, obviously we obviously lost Jason Alley. The window and people move a bit negative, and just shows you what team spirit I've got here. The character I have, and we're back at Hampden for another semi-final.
How good is it to give the fans that day out of Hampden as well?
I think it's really important. I thought they were brilliant tonight. Again, last year they weren't able to come, so you know, to get them a Hampden to go and celebrate, have a day out, you know, it's something they thoroughly deserve.
Yeah, they're a force of nature in the cup competitions, Mark.
Yeah, like you say, whoever gets them in that semi final will be difficult. But he touched on it, you touched on it. The fans been back there, all those fans who missed out in the cup final at Hampden. This is their opportunity to go back. I know it's only a semi final, but you'd like to see the St Johnstone fans there in their numbers. It was great to see McDermott Park full for their European clash. If all those fans can snap up tickets for Hampden, it'll be a great occasion for the players.
Yeah, there was another big story to come out of that game last night. Gordon, Lee Griffiths has issued an apology for kicking a flare at St Johnstone fans during the game. Police are investigating the incident, although I think up until this point no complaint has been made, no injuries, but police say they are investigating it. He issued an apology to say it was regrettable that the pyrotechnic ended up back in the stand, as my intention was just to remove it from the pitch. Having just lost the goal, I was eager to get the match restarted as quickly as possible, and I would like to apologise for any distress caused by this action.
It's certainly one that he obviously woke up this morning, Gordon, he does regret. It was really foolish. As much as you don't want to see them coming on the pitch, players should have a bit of responsibility, and you don't put yourself in that position, and you don't put people's safety in that position. It was a silly, silly thing.
I mean, Mark, you can see why people have had the reaction they've had. Well, first of all, to the incident, cause it's quite drastic to watch, and obviously it's a case of, you know, what if it could have been extremely dangerous, or it could have turned out to be extremely dangerous. It didn't, and we're thankful for that, I guess.
Yeah.
Lots of people are leaping on the line to say, you know, it was just my intention to remove it from the pitch, and they're asking, well, why not just sort of brush it aside with your foot rather than launch it?
Yeah,
it's, you know, 20 yards in the stand or whatever it was.
Yeah, nonsense, that excuse. I don't think anyone's buying that. I think anyone that's seen it understands what has happened, and yet could have been dangerous. It could have hit anyone, children in the crowd as well. So irresponsible from Lee Griffiths. And listen, Lee Griffiths has been through an awful lot in his career, and he's went to Dundee to play football and get his career back in track, because he's a very good player, a top striker, and he's at a place he knows, under a manager he knows. But he has to stop stuff like this. He has to take himself out of these situations. It always seems to be circling round him, and things like last night certainly doesn't help his career where he's at just now, because it's just another back page headline that people drag up, and people want to be talking about him as a good footballer that he is. And you know, if he goes and scores goals, you never know, he could find themselves in Steve Clark's thinking again, he's that good a finisher. But he needs to stop this.
I think Mark's right. Nonsense. He's there to make headlines with scoring goals. He's there to show everyone, look, I've came to Dundee to get my career another kickstart, get going again. He's still got plenty of life in him, but to get caught up in stupid, stupid things like this, Gordon, it's really, really disappointing for him. And Mark's right. It's all about the safety. And I don't say that they should be on the pitch to start with. That's wrong, 100%, because the argument is it could have hit Lee Griffiths. But to do what he's done, he's got to take a bit of responsibility as a football player.
I mean, Mark, we're now, what, I don't know, 2-3 weeks on from signing at Dundee, and then it's, yeah, I'm fed up saying I've got a point to prove, I just want to play football, all the rest of it. But it seems to kind of never end.
Well, his point to prove is to get this nonsense that's behind him and to concentrate on being the good player he is. So that's his point. In terms of his ability, I don't think anybody ever questions that. Maybe his fitness, yes, but his ability, no. And this is his opportunity.
But it now has been a long time since we saw that for any length of period, any length of time whatsoever.
I mean, at Tannadice on Sunday, we saw glimpses, you know, his header in the first half, his snapshot he took. You think that's a real good player in there. And maybe as the season unfolds, we'll get to see that, and he'll certainly score goals at Dundee. But he needs to stop the sideshow that's following him around, because I believe he still has many years ahead of him and lots of goals ahead of him. But I'm sure his manager, at the minute, James McPake, will want him to cut that out, because they need him. Dundee certainly need him to score goals to survive in this league this season.
Yeah, so I mean, the club issued that statement, say they were making no further comment on this situation. It's not the type of thing that the governing bodies would act upon, you know, 20 hours later, 24 hours later or whatever. So I guess it's one that we maybe would have to keep an eye on to see if there are any further repercussions. It's 01419511025 on the phones. It's at Clyde SSB on Twitter. We're spinning a lot of plates here. We're looking back on Rangers' victory against Livingston last night. We're looking ahead to Celtic against Raith Rovers tonight. We've also got Dundee United against Hibs. We've already touched on the St Johnstone victory at Dundee. So whatever is on your mind, this is a great time to call 01419511025, and you could be up next along with the full time teaser.
Taking your calls on Scottish football, 01419511025. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
What's going on tonight? We were looking back on Rangers' victory last night. What did you make of Yanis Hadji, John Lundstrom? Those were the calls we were getting a bit earlier on, that Yanis Hadji changed the game, and it was John Lundstrom's best performance for Rangers so far. Do you agree with those assessments? Do you disagree? Whatever way you look at it, now's a good time to pick up the phone. 0141 951 1025. Give us a call right now. And as we approach kickoff, Celtic fans, lots been said this week about your team and your players and your manager in particular. And what about that team tonight then? No real rotation, fairly strong. Are you looking forward to seeing Giakoumakis potentially come off the bench? 01419511025. A great time to call. We are still here until 8 o'clock, so don't be shy. Get in touch with the guys and let them know. We are on Twitter as well, and I must say, I like the input from David Lees, who, following on from the Commonwealth Games discussion, has sent me a picture of 6 Tunnocks tea cakes, only he's photoshopped your face right into the middle of each biscuit.
Oh, I tell you,
that's what I need.
That's
actually
enough to put anybody off.
I need something to put me off.
A
then,
deterrent.
That was the only thing I liked about it. 3 Tunnocks tea cakes, brilliant.
I noticed that that Mark Wilson's, he's coming in the tracksuit this afternoon, because he's out and about doing his, we told you a few weeks ago, his Andy Robertson AR26 charity coaching work. How's it going?
It's going great. Yeah, brilliant. It's going brilliant.
What's he laughing at?
He's doing more hours.
You getting run ragged?
Listen, you put a lot into it, and I'm enjoying it.
Every time I speak to him, I'm not getting home till 10:30.
Well, you've had some experience
have you ever been out and about and with the youth of today? I can't imagine you and the youth of today would mix too well.
I was a big part of the next generation, yes.
Right, okay.
I was working, and I used to do a lot for the schools, getting put on some coaching.
Seriously, I can't imagine that.
Yeah, listen, yeah. No, because right, he told me a story. And I was just telling some of the sessions we give the kids, you know, in the after school clubs
it's
and
like
things.
Fun, a bit more fun rather than
tell me your story when you were there.
I feel I'll let the public down. It's listening.
I hope Andy Robertson's listening or gets a rerun of this, because I will not do this.
Right, go
Andy,
on, what have you done?
Tell them your experience of what you did.
Well, I was very fortunate that I used to get into the schools, but I used to like getting into the indoor hall, right? And I went to this particular school, and I went early because I like to set up and be organised. And what happened was, you used to get kids that would come out, and you would do a wee bit of coaching and stuff like that, and whatever it may be, and it was enjoyable for an hour and a half it was for them. So basically, for the kids, it was an hour and a half out the classroom. They loved it. Bit of football, everything was there.
Right, okay, get the gist.
So this time I had to go out to the field outside, and I was a wee bit sort of not happy with that. So I went away out there, and I says, that's
fine. Football coach doesn't like to be on the football pitch. That's against
it was a bit cold that day. So I set everything up. So the teacher says, look, we'll be out in 20 minutes. Okay, I said, perfect, I'll set everything up. So I measured everything, set everything up. Everything's absolutely brilliant. Set their professional bibs, everything. So there's about 20 kids. And I'm thinking, right, split them into five.
I can't
four.
Imagine him working with children.
I'm laughing because I know what's coming.
Five fours, away you go, an easy shift, an hour and a half. Come on, kids, let's enjoy it. So the kids come out, but they just weren't under the usual control that I was looking at. And they just seemed to run right by me, and they started kicking balls away into the other field, right? They were throwing.
Can you imagine his face?
They were throwing the cones like a frisbee, right? They were flying everywhere. This was now out of control, right? So I thought, how am I going to handle this? Because it took me about half an hour setting everything up. I went, right, okay, this is how I'll handle this situation. So I say, right, kids, in we come. We're going to play this fantastic game. There's a big bag there. See all the stuff it's lying about. Whoever's quickest getting into the bag, then I'm going to give them a prize. I'm going to give them a real. So then, away they went, blew the whistle, Gordon. Everything in, right? Now remember, I've got them for an hour and a half. Everything in the bag, zipped the bag up, like Santa Claus, over a shoulder, right out of the school gates, and in the car. And you can see the kids at the gates going.
Seriously, you abandoned them.
Abandoned them, right?
And never went back.
Never went back, right? Said, the kids.
Said the outrageous. Teacher came out, and the kids are shouting, Miss, the coach is away.
The kids had their faces up at the gates, and they're shouting. I could add the window down, right, and I'm shouting, I'm not coming back. And they're going, oh, please coach.
Are you proud of that?
Oh, totally proud of it. And let me say,
the worst piece of advice he could ever give me.
I never went back near that school ever again. To this day, never ever.
Oh,
I can't believe he's proud of that.
Honestly, see when he told me that, I nearly fell off his seat.
Coach,
come back. Oh. I was loved that day. I'll tell you what, it taught them a valuable lesson.
Anyway, very quickly, we're about to speak to Scott. Ken and Cambus Lang has been in touch with your full-time teaser tonight. I think we've maybe had this before or a variation of it, but we can't let tonight slide by without it. Can you name Celtic's starting 11 for when Raith Rovers beat them in the 94 League Cup final? Gordon Dale obviously played in this game, so let's laugh at him from now until 8 o'clock when he can't come up with the answers. Who jumps out then?
Well, Gordon Marshall, because I bulleted one by him for 40 yards.
2 yards, right. Mark Wilson.
Paul McStay.
Yes, one more, Gordon.
Must have been Tom Boyd.
Yes, one more, Mark.
Andy Walker.
Yes, okay,
aye,
we'll leave it
scored.
There. That's four of the 11, so you're doing not too badly at all. Ooh, I've got a Raith Rovers fan on the phone. Don't you answer any of these, Scott. I want these two to come up with the answers. But how are you feeling ahead of tonight? Any chance of a shock?
I suppose it's just a wait and see. For us, it's a bit of a free hit. We're going alright in the league. Not maybe as good as last season, but I think a lot of the fans have kind of said that we would probably be a bit more confident had we been at home, and obviously Celtic didn't do well in AstroTurf. But no, it's a kind of wait and see, and just I would rather we had a go than just sit in and hope for penalties or whatever.
Do you think that's the best bet then, to actually try, you know, rather than just trying to sit there and And sometimes it feels like you're waiting for the inevitable, albeit there is the obvious counter to that, where if you open up against Celtic at home and the way they've attacked certain teams this season, it could be a big scoreline. But you still think it's best to at least try and do something in a forward thinking sense?
I think so. I think we're not set up ever to sit in just the way that McGlynn plays, and I don't think we've got the players to do so either. We are quite a good footballing team. I don't know if the guys watching it on TV and whatever last season, but this season we're just as much playing football and we like passing the ball about on the ground, so it'll be interesting. But as you say, Celtic have got so much firepower going forward, so it'll be interesting. I just hope, as I say, I do think just have a go and you never know.
We live in this part of the world, Scott, where anytime you know Celtic or Rangers drop points or don't perform well, the spotlight really goes on it, and in particular after the weekend. Does that give you any encouragement whatsoever, or is this just a completely different proposition?
I mean, I watched part of the game on Sunday with Celtic losing at Livy, and as I said, I think had we been at home for this tie, I think there would have been a bit more of a buzz and an upbeat about us performing and possibly causing an upset. Just the fact that it's a smaller pitch, it's AstroTurf, they might not be able to zip the ball about as they want, but I think we can hopefully cause an upset, but as long as we don't get absolutely battered, they'll be happy enough.
Yeah, it's hard to ignore the Celtic Park factor in a game like this, Mark. The quality of the surface, the size of it, the fact it's been raining, it'll be slick, it'll be fast, that does make it totally different. You know, and people then, you go to Livy, for instance, and you're met with a lot of people saying, I forget the pitch, it's the same for both sides, and, you know, stop making excuses. Whether it's an excuse or not, it's just a very different football match.
Oh, yeah, it's a huge factor. There's no doubt Celtic Park are a different proposition to what you would have faced had the game been at Wraith. The Astro surface, yeah, makes a difference in terms of how quick you move the ball. I mean, even there was times in the game at Livy on Sunday that the ball has a different bounce, and that affects just how fluid the game is. So Celtic at Celtic Park, we've seen how good they are, you know, against St Mirren and Dundee, and even against Hearts, where they scored 3 goals in the last round. Going forward, move it very quick, very difficult to deal with. So the Wraith Rovers players, it'll be a test that they've not come up against a lot in their career. A big test. But as I say, Wraith Rovers can be, and John McGlynn can be, quite happy how his team have played this year, but I think it's going to be a long evening. You know, it's those Celtic players who are picked tonight, Abada, Jota, Ayeti, those front three, and Rogic and Turnbull. Ange Postecoglou made it clear he wasn't happy with them on Sunday, and putting them out again is almost like, go and put that right tonight. You know, go and continue to create chances like you've done at home and score the goals that you've done in previous. So that's why I think it'll be a long night for Wraith.
Big ask of that, there's no doubt. John McGlynn, I've seen Wraith Rovers a right few times, and they do play really good football, Gordon. They try to play football, and they will do tonight as well. They won't just be lumping the ball up the bar and getting everybody behind the ball and try to make it difficult. They'll have a game plan. John believes in his players. Look, Celtic are massive favourites and probably will go and win this, but I think Wraith will give a good account of themselves because they've got some real good footballers there.
Who did you knock out in the quarterfinals in the year that you won it?
I don't know. I don't even know who we knocked out in the semis.
Oh my goodness.
Quarterfinals when we won the cup. Kilmarnock maybe?
I don't know what you're asking me. I'm asking you. You're there.
Answering a question with a question.
Scott, you sound like a young Wraith Rovers fan. Can you help him out? Is that before your time?
Well, I was born a year or two after it, but I'm pretty sure it was Kelly in the quarter and then maybe Airdrie in the semis.
Oh, yeah, definitely Airdrie, yeah.
St Johnston in the quarter, was it Airdrie in the semis?
See, what do you know?
Scott, thank you for getting in touch tonight. Enjoy the game as best as you can. That was Scott, a Wraith Rovers fan, who, by the way, is from Kirkcaldy but is in the Netherlands these days.
Wow.
You two are worldwide.
Ah, yeah.
You're worldwide global. Fame. Global superstars.
Honestly, I just keep laughing because I get the thought of him up in that bag
and abandoning 20 and abandoning school children.
I don't know why I find that so funny.
It's outrageous, isn't it? I can't. He's proud of it.
I'm so proud of it. I was like Santa Claus leaving with the sack.
But I'm not surprised at it.
But I'll tell you what, I did feel bad because I felt loved after it. When I was in my car and we're shouting, "Coach, come back."
Honestly, right, we do have another big quarter final tonight. It's at Tannadice between Dundee United and Hibs. Let's get a preview of that one with Dave Galloway.
Thanks, Gordon. Dundee United go into this one full of confidence after Sunday's victory over Dundee, and they're looking to make Tannadice a real fortress, having won 4 of their 5 games here in all competitions so far this season. But Hibs, who've suffered 3 agonising Hampden defeats in the last year, including May's Scottish Cup final, are determined to put things right by going all the way in the League Cup. A big crowd's expected for what has all the makings of a close and entertaining encounter. Dundee United make 4 changes. In come Carson, Levitt, Freeman and Clark. Out go Segrist, Butcher, Smith and Niskanen. It's Carson in goals. At the back, Freeman, Edwards, Mulgrew and McMahon. Midfield, Levitt, Hearts, Fuchs and Pollitt. Up top, McNulty and Clark. Substitutes, Segrist, Sporla, Reynolds, Niskanen, Chalmers, Hoti, Mokri, Apere and Smith. Let's take a look at the Hibs lineup now, and 2 changes for them. Stevenson and Allen in for Doig and Cadden. They line up with Macy in goals. At the back, McGinn, Porteous and Hanlon. Midfield, Allen, McGuinness, Doyle, Hayes and Stevenson, with Newell playing off Boyle and Nisbet. The subs, Dabrowski, Woodgordon, McGregor, Doig, Cadden, Gogic, Scott, Mackay and Gallen. And your match referee here at Tannadice is Willie Collum.
Did you fancy in that one? Willie Collum, apart from him, he's your best pal. What about the teams that are playing?
I think that will be a long night for Dave.
Ooh.
I think that'll go all the way and it'll be decided by a penalty shootout.
Okay, Mark Wilson's is very specific.
I think Hibs will win that one. Good to see Scott Allen on the side. I thought at half time when he came on against St Mirren at the weekend, he made an instant impact, and you know, he's a player, kind of had a stop-start career from the very beginning. I know he's had his health concerns, but he's back now, he's creative. I think him and the team, Hibs, will score.
Let's go back to Celtic Park and check in with Alison Conroy. Have these disco lights been on you, Alison? I thought this was the big light show that we were promised on social media. Have you witnessed this yet?
They're just kicking in now. They're just starting the light show as
feel
you
like
come
you're in
to me at the moment. Yeah, that's exactly it. Do you know they were actually playing a bit of entrance when I came back out from getting a cup of coffee as well? Gretchen's.
Gordondale's never heard of that.
But,
I mean, I guess it's not quite the type of night these were designed for. It was always about the big Champions League nights, but what do they say? The nights are fair drawn in, so you might as well
get the
disco lights on. Alison, what about the teams then? Give us a recap.
Yeah, it's 3 changes for Celtic from that defeat at Livingston at the weekend, and it's 1 change for Raith Rovers after their victory over Morton at the weekend as well. So Celtic will have Joe Hart in goal, back 4 Anthony Ralston, Cameron Carter-Vickers, Carl Starfelt and Stephen Montgomery. Then the 3 of Tom Rogic, James McCarthy and David Turnbull, with Yota and Leo Labada supporting Albion Ayeti up top. On the bench for Celtic, Bain, Sorrow, Bolingoli, Origidi, Shaw, Beaton, Welsh, Giacomakis and Juranovic. For Wraith, it'll be Jamie McDonald in goal, a back 4 of Regan Tumulty, Kyle Benedictus, Christoph Berra and Liam Dick. Then it'll be Blaise Riley Snow sitting in front of them, with the 4 of Aidan Connolly, Dylan Tate, Ross Matthews and Dario Zanata. Up top, Ethan Varian. On the bench for Wraith tonight, Lang, Spencer, Mackay, Arnott, Mitchell, Young, Poplatnik and Thompson. And your referee for this one is David Munro.
So building up nicely to Celtic Park, the visit of Wraith Rovers. What a topical teaser for you tonight. Ken in Cambus Lang sent it in. Gordon Dale played in the game, so he should know the starting 11 for Celtic when Wraith Rovers beat them in the 94 League Cup final. So you scored past Gordon Marshall. Tom Boyd was there. Paul McStay obviously had a significant part in the day. Andy Walker. What other defenders were chasing your shadows for?
Tony Mowbray.
You ran him ragged. Yep, he was in there. Mark, can you remember? How old you have been?
10. I remember it. Mark McNally.
Oh, that's a good shoot, Mark McNally. Well done.
I wasn't there, just watched it live on TV.
Imagine what he was calling you on TV.
Did you actually look and thought, one day I'll work with that legend?
Certainly not.
Well, we're getting the light show on the TV, the disco lights.
Yeah.
Wow, looks impressive.
What's the crowd? Is there a big crowd in Celtic Park?
Can't see, it's pitch black because the disco lights are on. Mark, any more on the teaser?
Did we say
Charlie Nicholas up front?
Yes, okay, we'll leave it there. You've got four to get. We'll get kickoff and the remaining four answers next.
Number one for football in Glasgow and the West. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Mark Wilson and Gordon Dale are here, the final part of tonight's show. Do you know what, Mark Wilson? I know they were bother nights other than Raith Rovers, but those lights are quite cool. You see all the kids there, they're loving it. Adds a wee bit of something to the occasion.
Looks brilliant, it certainly does. And the music going along with it,
He's an old cynic, you won't have it.
You need to use it. If you've got to amuse him.
No, I quite enjoyed it, yeah. It was
great. Took you back to Hamilton Palace, 1994.
Oh, I'd have been up dancing.
That's the last thing people
I'd
need.
Have been sneaking out.
We're about to kick off in the other game as well. No disco lights there, Dundee United against Hibs. Looking forward to both of these games. We will keep you updated on everything that happens in the opening stages before we disappear. It's a topical one tonight on the full-time teaser. And just your nightly reminder that if you want to submit a question, you want your shout out, you want to take the credit for catching the pundits out on the show, we would love to have you. So send your questions in to fulltime@clyde1.com. That's what Ken in Cambus Lang did tonight, and he says, can you name the starting 11 for Celtic when Raith Rovers beat them in the 94 League Cup final? You've got Gordon Marshall, Tom Boyd, Mark McNally, Tony Mowbray, Paul McStay, Charlie Nicholas, Andy Walker.
Go on, Mark.
John Collins play?
Nope. Oh, he did, sorry, he did. John Collins. My apologies. Yeah.
Right, we're chatting about right backs here. I thought Rudy Vatt a bit.
And you thought?
No. I don't think he played. I'd be astonished if he played, because I didn't remember him playing. To be fair, I don't remember.
Yeah, but Rudy Vatt did not play.
Right. Okay. Well, Mark came out with a good one. Mike Galloway?
So you're taking the credit for his answer?
Yeah.
Yes, Mike Galloway. Well done.
Right, where did he play?
I don't know. Does that matter? I just want to start in 11. I don't need you to tell me exactly where he played, but. Right, okay. You've only got two to get, so we'll get them before the end of the show. First set piece is a corner to Celtic. So deep delivery doesn't really cause any problem for Raith Rovers. And actually the big men start to retreat. Not going to bother staying up for the next phase of play. But as you can see, Abada just trying to work something early on, Mark. And these games are the ones where you can't really criticise Celtic yet. Any home game against so-called weaker opposition, they've dealt with comfortably.
Yeah. And exactly what the Celtic fans going along tonight will expect, you know, getting the ball wide to Abada and Jota quickly, and, you know, being pretty direct with things when they get the ball, Ralston barging into a tackle early doors there. But it's the sort of aggression Celtic need. They need to start quick. You know, putting that defeat to Livingston behind them very quickly is imperative. But I think this will be a simple enough night for Celtic. And again, it's no disrespect to Raith Rovers, but it's purely because the team that Ange Postecoglou has put out, the quality that they've possessed tonight, they should deal with Raith Rovers pretty simple.
Yeah, I mean, Gordon, we're comparing, if you're talking budgets and all the rest of it, international footballers, it's not even a close comparison. The one thing you would say though, those absolute dominant performances. Oh, we've got a goal in the other game already. 2.5 minutes gone, and it's Dundee United 0, Hibs 1. So the visitors take the lead. Scott Allen is getting some congratulations against his former team, Joe Newell, as well. Was it Joe Newell who got the final say? And that one doesn't score many. Actually spoke to him a few weeks ago, and he was saying he's been getting a bit of stick, and that's the thing that he would like to add to his game. But Scott Allen, the creator, lovely reverse pass. It's a good finish from Joe Newell. Should the keeper be beating at his near post? I know that's a bit of a
cliche.
Sort of cliche at times. He does get a lot on the finish, but a keeper of that quality, possibly.
No, I thought it was a poor goalkeeping, but take nothing away from Joe Newell. Pulls the trigger there and he gets his reward. Great start for Hibs, shooting down the hill. Mark?
Mark, yeah. No, this is exactly what Scott Allen brings to the team. He gets that ball on the left hand side, right in the touchline. He comes in his right foot, and you expect it, you know, usual players would just put that in, you know, try and hit the back post. He sees the run on Newell, reverse pass into his feet. Joe Newell's a very good player, good first touch, but I'm afraid Gordon, the goalkeeper, has to do better there at the front post.
Trevor Carson, who has reached the final of this competition with Motherwell in recent seasons, of course, he has high standards. I think he probably will feel he could have done a little bit better, but Joe Newell does everything right as well, Gordon. He gets a lot on it. It is a decent finish as
credit.
It's not a top drawer goalkeeping howler for anyone who's
thinks we're making credit it out to that. Joe Newell. He sees the opportunity, Gordon. He's got a sweet left foot, you've got to say. He's a good player. I like him, I really do. And it's a great start. Great start for Jack Ross up at Tannadice. And you know, Hibs shooting down that hill, they'll be looking.
He's obsessed with that hill. That is the worst thing you ever did was mention it.
Ever since I told him, because he didn't notice. When you look, you can clearly see the advertising boards. Look, you can't see them at one end, and then you see the difference at the other end when you see the dip in the hill. First little glimpse for Celtic going forward there. Gordon into Jota's feet at the edge of the box on the half turn, receives it, just curls it wide past Jamie McDonald's post.
Wraith Rovers are putting themselves about, trying to get stuck in when they need to and showing good physicality. Celtic look to break forward. I'm not sure if it was Turnbull or Rogic. They look a bit similar from this distance for my liking. Anyway, one of them was shrugged off the ball, but Celtic just trying to keep some possession and make something happen. Like we said, Hibs have taken the early advantage in that one against Dundee United. You can tell by the look on producer Callum's face. He's not happy about that at all. But yeah, here comes Celtic again down the left. Wraith are doing well, though, Mark, to kind of double up. Jota there's got no option. He goes all the way back to Starfield. And now Carter Vickers has it in the halfway line.
Yeah, you can see the amount of bodies Wraith Rovers are getting in and around the box. And it's exactly what you need to do at Celtic Park to get some sort of result. When you're in that defensive third, you know, everybody needs to know their job. They need to fill the holes. And then do exactly what they're doing now. Try and counter Celtic when they get the opportunity and have that wee bit of quality when they're in the attacking third.
You can see they've worked out their formation, Gordon. They're getting bodies behind the ball. It's a 4-5-1. They look very compact. They're making it difficult for Celtic. And then when they get the ball, as I say, they'll try and pass it. That's one thing about them. John McGlynn team always try and pass the ball. But it's only, 5.5 minutes. It's still a massive ask to go there and get a result.
You kind of have to make snap judgments, Mark. It's early as a shot from Wraith goes by the post, it's harmless. But I feel like already inside 6 minutes, Wraith look up for it. And maybe more than people would have given them credit for before the game.
No, they certainly do. Daz is right. They look to pass it. They look to get forward. It's important that they don't just sit in. You know, we've just seen it there in the last minute and a half, what the game plan should be. When Celtic have got Jota and Abad on the ball, pack the box, but when Wraith get the ball, commit bodies forward. You know, they're not scared there to get forward, and they worked that quite well to get the shot away. So yeah, when they got possession, they are going to have a go. It's not just, you know, let's lump it forward and let the ball come back. They are going to try and keep possession.
That'll not help Celtic's cause.
You have a ropey start from Celtic, Gordon.
Yeah, just passing the ball out of the pitch. I think it was Starfelt that was the guilty party there, Gordon. You know what, like, supporters are, they're expecting a good performance, expecting a few goals, especially after the weekend's disappointing result. I keep saying it is still early, but it doesn't help when you start just mistiming your passes and putting out the park.
McGuinness goes close for Hibs, a curling effort from distance. Carson has to be alert to tip this one away. He was backpedalling. It was a great effort from McGuinness. It's a bit too central to cause Trevor Carson any real discomfort. Dylan Levitt's been shown the first booking. That's early for a midfield player to have to walk that tightrope. He chopped down Martin Boyle on 7 minutes and has gone into the book already. So you don't want to be chasing Martin Boyle about on a booking for another.
Certainly not. Dundee United just need to be careful just now. And Gordon Dale's clicking his fingers at me. He thinks he's got a name.
He's back in the playground.
Is that right? You think that's right?
On the teaser, we're looking for the Celtic starting 11 when Wraith Rovers beat them in the 94 League Cup final. Gordon Marshall, Mike Galloway, Tom Boyd, Mark McNally, Tony Mowbray, Paul McStay, Charlie Nicholas, Andy Walker, John Collins.
He may have taken my job at Brecon as assistant manager, but I took his winner's medal at Ibrox that day. Sid?
Simon Donnelly was in here last night, yes.
That's not quite what you wrote in the paper there, was it?
I don't think we can broadcast that.
Yes.
One more.
I'm struggling one more. It's a full
well, if Sid played, I thought that was before his time. Jackie McNamara?
No.
No, I can see the
Why
boy.
Did he not play that?
I can see the guy and.
What did he look like?
A big guy.
A big one.
Black hair. Quite a good looking, sophisticated lad.
I'm trying to think if you're being. I'm being truthful honest. Here, no, I'm truthful.
I think he went and played at Preston.
Played at Preston?
Aberdeen. Played Aberdeen, Preston, maybe.
And more significantly, I would say in Germany.
I got it.
Don't tell us.
Why wouldn't
no,
I
you have to tell
you? Brian O'Neill.
Well done. Joint effort, Brian O'Neill. Right, as things stand. Celtic 0, Raith Rovers 0. Hibs are looking to get towards the semi-finals there, 1-0 up in Dundee United. And of course, you know already from last night, St Johnstone and Rangers are in the hat. So whatever happens tonight, there will be plenty of talking points tomorrow. Hugh Keevans will be back with us, Jim Duffy as well, at 6 o'clock. So make sure you join us then. We'll go over all of the talking points from tonight and preview the weekend as well. The football is coming thick and fast. If you stay where you are, Johnny Campbell is up next. You're in good hands.